Hello, and welcome to Long Time No See, the podcast. Each week, we'll be pairing two blindfolded comedians who've agreed to sit down with a mystery guest. I'll be putting them on the spot with a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Without further ado, please remove your blindfolds and introduce yourself.
Hey, I'm Michael.
Hi, Andrea.
I have to be honest with you, I am so relieved to see a Jew.
Do you have any irrational fears? What's the worst fad you were into? Is there any job that you would be terrible at?
Underwater welder?
Don't say that about yourself.
Do you guys have any useless talents?
I kicked one of those delivery robots.
What? You kicked one?
Yelling. I kick those all the time.
They have names on them.
Good.
I can make smoke come out of my mouth with nothing.
Do it.
You want to see it?
What the f***? Are you a dragon?
Out now, Long Time No See, the podcast, season 2. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out what's really going on behind the music, sometimes you have to dig deep. I'm Dr. Mike, and on the new season of Going There, we're doing just that.
Art or music can be your escape and your therapy.
Going There is the podcast at the crossroads of music and mental health, where we have raw, meaningful conversations with artists like Noah Kahn, Julian Baker, Jason Isbell, Youngblood, The Head and the Heart, and Bishop Briggs.
I recently heard someone describe grief as glitter, where you'll clean it up and then you'll find little pieces.
By opening ourselves up to these real discussions about mental health, we can foster understanding and gain even greater appreciation for the music we all love.
For me, like, my favorite songs give me happy tears.
So join me and some of your favorite artists on the new season of Going There with Dr. Mike, brought to you by Sound Mind Live and the Consequence Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts.
So you want to be a rock and roll star? No? Well, how about a podcast star? Well, as it turns out, there's a new all-in-one platform just for you. It's called Anchor, and it's the easiest way to make a podcast. And check this out, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. And then Anchor will distribute the podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify and Apple Podcast and, you know, everywhere else in podcast land. And what's even better, you can actually make money from your podcast. Go figure. No minimum listenership on that. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So go ahead, download the free Anchor app right now or go to anchor.fm to get started. So what are you waiting for? Podcast stardom is within your reach.
Do you read Stephen King? Good news. There's a club for you. The Losers Club. Every Friday, us losers journey through the never-ending wastelands of King's Dominion. We sink our teeth into each of King's novels, dive deep into the lore, and review every adaptation. Even better, we're always having guests over. Thomas Jane, Will Wheaton, Mary Lambert, Mick Garris, the list goes on. So what are you waiting for? Join us as we read on through long days and pleasant nights.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's an interview series presented by WFPK Independent Louisville at WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound and the Consequence Podcast Network. Big hello to all of our subscribers. Thank you so much for staying with us every single week. I know we put out a lot of interviews. I always appreciate you checking them out, too. New interviews every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Hopefully you get inspired, if you haven't already, to give the series a rating, leave a review. All of the stuff that you're supposed to do when you get into podcasts. If you're not a subscriber, take the chance to hit the subscribe button, for it is a great way to keep up with all of your favorite artists, what they're up to, what they've done, what they're gonna do, that whole song and dance. Grab your listening device, type in Kyle Meredith With, and subscribe away. I'm Kyle Meredith. So today my guest is one of my all-time favorite artists, and I'm talking like all-time favorite artists. If you could call anyone the David Bowie of our era, at least in the idea of what that might mean, it is this guy right here. I'm talking about Beck. He's back with a brand new record called Hyperspace. This follows up the 2017 record Colors, which was a very pop record. And the thing about Beck, he sort of does one or the other a lot of the times. You get a singer-songwriter style record, or you get a cool, weird electronic record, or you get a pop record, or some version of all of that. But rare do we get a record that kind of has everything all at once. And this new record, Hyperspace, is that. And Beck and I are going to get into how the record came to sound this way. Pharrell has a lot to do with that. That is kind of his conspirator this time around. So there will be some high praise thrown to Mr. Pharrell Williams. And again, the vibe that kind of stems from them working together. This is a record for the nighttime, but it's not a party record. In fact, I'm going to talk about that. When you look at the track list, even just the track list, you're going to see words like Dark Places, Everlasting Nothing, Die Waiting. So I'll ask Beck, what's going on this record? What's on his mind this time around? We'll talk about life in the information age, get the story behind the first single that we heard, Saw Lightning, one of my favorite songs of the decade. And then we'll also talk about videos. Beck is known for his videos. He's made some iconic, amazing videos in his past. Hopefully if you've checked out one of his latest videos for Uneventful Days, there are some definite nods to his past. It's not the first time he's done that, but we'll get into that appeal and what it's like being tied to visuals so strongly in people's nostalgia. And fashion. We're going to talk about fashion because with Beck, you sort of get that. You get music, you get visuals, and then he shows up, next to the runways, and he's always got the coolest clothes on. So we're going to hear what he gets from that art form as well. So let's jump into this. We're going to talk about the brand new record called Hyperspace. It's Kyle Meredith with Beck.
Hey, Kyle.
I got to tell you that I think Hyperspace is easily in my probably top three albums that you've ever done. I'm so in love with this. Congratulations.
No way. Amazing. Wow. Yeah, that makes me so happy.
I love the vibe. It's got this really great vibe that you're kind of featuring on this. And I was thinking, I'm here in Kentucky. We have Cage the Elephant right down the road from us in Louisville, from Bowling Green and everything. And had loved what you did with them in Night Running. It almost feels like this album, not sound-wise from that song, but it does kind of put me back in that concept of what Night Running is. But the lyrics aren't what I would call the party atmosphere for the nighttime. I mean, when you've got, titles like Dark Places and Everlasting Nothing, I'll ask this broadly. What's going on this record?
I don't know. It's weird. This record kind of made itself. I started it with Pharrell, and he kind of helped set the tone. His take on what I do is he's like, you're a singer-songwriter, And, I guess maybe that's a specific term. Maybe I'm a record maker. I sort of obviously go between genres and I kind of don't really adhere to a specific sound. But I think he, in his mind on this record, we're going to find some place between kind of what he does and a singer-songwriter thing. So it has some of that kind of introspective quality, but, with these more modern sounds. And yeah, it's kind of we worked on these songs over a number of years. And I really feel like the whole time, especially with something like, The Everlasting Nothing, it's like, what is this? I don't quite know what it is. I can't really define. And there's times, when we're making Loser or Odelay, where I didn't really sort of in this gray area where I don't really know what it is. And I think in a way that's a good place to be. That's can't quite slotted into anything. And I think this record has some introspective. It's an introspective time in the world. There's a bit of reflection happening, a little soul searching culturally, politically, personally, maybe. I don't know. Seems to be a season for that comes around, in a society and a culture. We've been in one of those moments, I think, the last few years.
Maybe I'm then trying to draw those threads where they're not obvious. Even when I look at the title with Hyperspace and I read about, how the original idea comes from sort of the escape button from an old video game. But, the idea of life in hyperspace in 2019, I mean, especially coming from the guy who named one of his records The Information, this is a time when, more information is being thrown at us than ever before, which almost makes the a phrase like Uneventful Day be tongue-in-cheek.
Exactly. We're sort of inundated, but at the same time I feel like we've been in this moment, and I'm especially feeling it last year, where we're all kind of waiting for something. I don't know if we're waiting for deliverance or for the other shoe to drop or disaster. Like there's sort of a limbo moment, and you can have that in your personal life. The sort of now what,
right?
Where do we go from here? So I, that song I think speaks to that in a sort of not completely direct way, not in a overly obvious way, but sort of summons that mood of the moment.
Does Saw Lightning find itself going down the similar path?
Yeah, Saw Lightning was a real, I'd say that was one of the real collaborations with Pharrell. We just sort of built that from the ground up together. And, you know, I was just playing the slide and then he put a beat and then I was playing piano and it's sort of this back and forth and we made this big mess. And it was just completely spontaneous. There was a day I saw lightning, you know, and I think that has to do with sort of cataclysmic events, you know, whether they're personal or in the culture, and the sort of those things that wake you up. They're sort of full of anxiety and dread, but also maybe make you appreciate what you have or had as well. You're sort of woken up from the spell of your day to day.
I mean, that track in itself, by the way, that's not just one of my favorite songs you've ever done. That's probably one of my favorite songs of this decade. It's been so fun to hear that. And the balance that you're talking about, how you achieve that, you know, that sound and kind of that the content, it's so well done.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Collaborators have been a big part of the story, you know, for this record, for the last one with Greg. And I sort of wonder, you know, when it says Pharrell, it says also co-written and not just co-produced. And how much does that alter your original vision?
Well, I didn't have an original vision other than I want to work with Pharrell and I want to go out of where I work and my automatic go-to instincts and go into some other place, you know, where, and then he comes out of where he's living. And, you know, he collaborates with so many people. He's really adept and brilliant at finding some middle ground. And we were so open with each other that we just defaulted right there. It was almost no work involved, you know. I mean, the uneventful, Everlasting Nothing was the first song we did together the first day. And then Saw Lightning was from that first week. And, you know, so it was a very natural kind of coming together. And what I love about this kind of collaboration is here's somebody I admire so much, and it requires a kind of surrender, and also surrender to your own kind of sense of comfort where you're in a musical place where you feel like you can just default, and you can't really do that in this situation. I really had to kind of bend and stretch into some other kind of things, and that's where you grow, you know. That's where you find something new. One of the great things about working with Pharrell, besides his energy and the kind of undefinable quality that he has, which is very, very special, very, very unique, is a sort of affirmation, you know, this sort of confident positivity that there's some sort of greater hand involved in all of this. So I don't know. It's always a learning experience working with somebody. And so I feel really fortunate to get to have worked with the people I've worked with.
I did love how you called him a master minimalist, because I think that's the perfect way to paint what he does. It's just mind-blowing how he does so much with so little.
It's really a magic trick, and it's something I wanted to see up close. And I still, even when you see a master magician in front of you, you don't know how they do it. And I think what it is he has such a deep instinct on what's essential in a song that he can focus right in on that thing and he doesn't need anything else. Whereas I throw a bunch of ideas and there's something special in the song, but I wouldn't necessarily be able to define what is the thing that's the most essential. It's in amongst other things. Some people are taking photos in a little square format and he's taking in a full panorama,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
The big picture.
Well, I'll say all of your musical ideas, it makes it really fun for headphone listening, though. You know, all those past records where there's a ton of things happening. It's very onion-skinned in that way, I guess.
Well, I hope so.
And I'll go to the lighter side, too, because Uneventful Days, the video was so cool to watch. It's not the first time that you've been self-referential in a video. You know, there have been other times where we've seen some of your past kind of creep into those. But I started thinking, you know, for an artist that's been so tied in, so, you know, known as sometimes as much for the images as for the music. I guess what I'm asking is kind of what that's like, if it's even present of mind to know that, you know, there are moments of your history that's so locked in with this one fictional sort of image that we got, you know, from a TV screen.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of emerging from a time where MTV was such a presence in the culture. And in a lot of ways, it was just so unscripted. It was there was almost no calculation at all. It was so just spontaneously of the moment and just sort of making things with friends without a lot of thought. I think at the time, I really, probably one of the great visual musicians of the time was Bjork, and there was such thought and care put into her visuals. Her visuals were so iconic and realized. You know, my stuff was much more like, hey, I got a camera. Like, well, I'll stand over in front of this wall. We'll take a picture. Like, let's shoot a video. I got some film in my freezer. You know, I love film, and I think the visual side of music is so important. Like that, the great musicians are all inextricably linked to the music. You know, and my only maybe I even regret not doing a film or something like that. Like Prince doing Purple Rain, or the Beatles with their films, Hard Day's Night, or Don't Look Back with Dylan. You know, those are all these really, there's something that amplifies the music, you know, brings these different layers to it. So hopefully we got to do a little bit of that with the videos back in the day.
I mean, it's not too late to tackle any of that movie-wise.
I know. Well, you know, yeah, we could. I'm probably, you know, it's funny. I was just in New Orleans for a week, did Voodoo Fest, and I had a friend of mine, this young guy, cameraman, we filmed a ton of stuff in New Orleans. And so, you know, maybe we'll make something with that. And the album cover this time was something that I shot with a friend, and we just did it in a half an hour. And there was no record company involved, no nothing. We just hopped in my car and went down the street and took some photos and made an album cover. So there's something that's kind of going back to my roots in a way.
The other side that we see, you know, every now and then pictures, you still pop up at fashion shows. And I started thinking, with a lot of artists, you know, if it's music, maybe a lot of artists stop listening to new music. But it seems like if you're in the fashion world, it doesn't play that way. Like, once you're in, you kind of stay in. And what do you get from that art form still, from the fashion art form, that kind of keeps you interested?
Well, it's funny. To me, like, I didn't grow up with money where I could go and really explore that side. Also, I kind of grew up in a period of questionable fashion, you know, an era of fanny packs and stonewashed jeans, which, you know, actually are quite trendy at the moment. But I grew up in going to Salvation Army and thrift stores. And so I kind of discover these treasures, you know, suits from the 50s. And that's a lot of what I wore as a teenager. The clothes that were from the 50s and 60s. And so I think it's more that fashion is linked to music. And I have friends who, part of what they do is sort of, they're trying to create this world, you know, where part of the costume has to do with music and the sort of idea that we project of fashion into music. So, you know, I have a really, really old friend of mine, did Saint Laurent for years. And, you know, what's great is, you know, we grew up with a lot of the same music. So he'll make those perfect boots, which is what they wore in the Velvet Underground in 1967. You know, you could never find that boot, but now they're recreating it. So there's something that's sort of living out that kind of fantasy in a way. But, you know, I think fashion is I don't think there's any rules to it. You know, I came up in a time of anti-fashion as well. Bands just wore jeans and T-shirts, and there was a beauty in that as well. But I'm a fan of the Beatles with their matching suits as well, or Hendrix in his kind of melange of juxtaposed military and snakeskin and feathers. And, you know, they're all sort of costumes for ritual, and performing music, it's a ritual. So that's something that goes back to the earliest times of being a human.
Well, I absolutely love how you put it all together, and it makes being a fan that much more interesting to seeing how you kind of work with all the art forms and you know, how it arrives in the music. I thank you again for the music, for everything you've done, but especially for this new record, Hyperspace. I'm so in love with it. And Beck, it's been such a pleasure talking to you today.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can't wait to see hear these songs live.
Yeah, come see us. For sure.
Absolutely, man. All right. Thanks so much, and take care.
Yeah, take care.
My eternal thanks, Beck. The new record is called Hyperspace. I cannot thank him enough for the time right there and the music. And to you for checking out the episode as well. Thank you so much. Again, if you're already subscribed, hopefully, you know, you'll leave a comment, give a review, rating, whatever you're inspired to do. If you're not, hit that subscribe button. You can do it anywhere you get your favorite podcast from. That includes iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Stitcher, Acast, NPR. Just grab your favorite listening device, type in Kyle Meredith With, and subscribe. And after that, you can head to WFPK.org, where I do a show Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's an hour full of song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, and bonus interviews. That's WFPK.org. Consequence of Sound has your music and film news. You can also find me at Twitter, at Kyle Meredith, Facebook/Kyle Meredith. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, if you want to grab one more question, because I feel bad, I just talked about fashion almost the whole time.